Accession number 22074, Reel 3.
Frank Quelch, Reel 3. So what sort of maintenance did you have to do on the guns? I mean, all of them. Did you have a sort of regime of maintenance or greasing?
Yeah, but I don't remember particularly having a lot to do with a gun, maintenance-wise. It was always the trucks. You had to do your, what they used to call it, a task. You had I think it was 17 tasks.
Really?
Every day, you had to check your tyre pressures.
17?
Yeah, and you do task one and task two. And so
forth. So tyre pressures would be one.
Tyre pressures, oil levels, coolant levels and things like that, yeah. Mostly the vehicle maintenance. I don't remember ever pumping up a grease gun on a gun.
No.
Never.
Or did you have to clean the guns?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What would you clean them with?
Well, to make them shiny, to make them, you get the oil, like a rag dipped in petrol and oil, made a beautiful job of shiny. But of course they didn't want that. They wanted a matte finish, you see, so you had to clean all that off, and they paint them with this paint which was full of sand and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Well, it must have made them very abrasive to handle.
Well, it did, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you finished, it would dry, and this procedure would go on and on over the months, you know. You can imagine this paint and sand would build up. So if you ever had to remove a nut or a bolt, you couldn't get the spanners on because they were hidden under all this paint.
Yeah. Right. So, but there's no sort of daily maintenance on the gun?
Not I can think of, no.
Right. So
but there's a lot of lectures on the gun. Hey, the recuperator, that's the bit. You know what happens? When a gun goes back, it recoils.
Mm-hmm.
When it goes back, it runs out. That's the run out, you see. Uh-huh. So you got to make sure the run out was correct.
Yes.
And always it used to go, and gradually go back, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then the last bit would be a tiny little movement, controlled movement, you know. So we understood all that, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you understood your guns pretty well.
Oh, yeah,
they were really a tool that you could,
liked
you
them,
know.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of pride in your team? I mean, your team stayed together, did it?
Most of us, yeah.
Yeah.
We had some deadbeats.
Didn't stay the course, yeah.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever drop out of training while you were doing all this training in the UK?
Not training as such, but in action, the fellows that were scared, they get drunk and, you know, lay at the bottom of a split trench and they weren't much good.
Really?
Another chap shot his toe off, you know, like they do.
Yeah. Okay, so we're still in the UK at the moment.
Yeah.
We're at Margate.
Yeah.
So that was, you were at Westgate. What were you billeted in?
Westgate, nice big, you know, the three-storey type houses, the boarding house type thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was quite comfortable, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Because you sound as though you were quite self-sufficient by this time, you know, you were sort of...
Gun teams did, you see, you had your little groups and you looked after each other, you see.
Yeah.
You might occupy one room, you see, and then the next gun team be in another room.
Right. Yeah. So you stayed together, your team?
Yeah.
Right. So Margate, again, a lot of troops about, and I mean, things must have been, you know, that corner of England was starting to fill up, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
With troops.
I remember.
Were you aware of that?
We didn't worry about invasion. We didn't know anything about whether there's going to be a second front or not. You know, we didn't think about things like that.
Right.
I mean, while we were there at Westgate, we used to go swimming a lot, because one of those beaches that wouldn't mind. You know, you could go about on the... And you just go training, exercise, you know, PT and stuff on the beach, you know. And we had commandos up the road. Oh, really was a lot of troops there. And these commandos, they went to Ramsgate somehow and they pinched a raft. There used to be a big raft there for the benefit of all and sundry. So these people pinched it and dragged it down to Westgate. And there it was out there. And we used to go out there and dive off it. It was great, you see. Then, of course, they wanted it back, and it went back, you see. And then they put up scaffolding. They made a sort of a thing, and a scaffolding that stuck up out of the water for training. But, of course, it's free handed for diving off of. That's what it was, you see. Yeah.
What sort of fitness training did you do, or had you done? Because the Army's quite keen on all its cross-country running and PT and things. Had that been a continuous thing?
Oh, yeah. we used to have to run up hills and walk down them, you know, march down and run up, you know, get a hell of a sweat on, yeah. Oh, it was training all the time, yeah. Some form or other. Mm. Used to have a sergeant, used to say, almost to the drill book, you march along the right, halt, left turn, get to work. Anyone used to be, he thought it was so clever, I suppose.
Yeah.
Get to work, yeah.
So you must have been pretty fit when you were young men, weren't you?
Yeah. We didn't do any weight training or anything like that. We used to swimming and things like that.
And PT, did you do that?
Running, I took part in a 5-mile run once. I didn't complete it, but at the same time I didn't drop out, some did. Yeah. But that was after we'd gone to Goudhurst. That was our next place,
Goudhurst.
Goudhurst,
Where's that?
In Kent,
Goud, is it?
Yeah, Hurst, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what sort of establishment was that?
That was a girls' school.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
Ladies' college. No girls there, they're long gone, yeah. Mm. But plenty of training there, yeah.
Was the training altering at all over these months and years? Do you know what I mean? Did you get a different sort of style or emphasis in what you were doing, or was it more of the same?
More of the same, yeah. You know, a new gun, you got different ranges and so forth. Had to go to different places because this gun fired farther, you know.
Yeah. Did you do any firing from land onto sea?
Mostly. Right. With the full round, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you have targets out there, or...?
Well, the target would be inland, but you wouldn't fire at anything in the sea, but the sea's in the distance for the shots to drop in, you know, right. That's what it, you know, made a bigger distance for the rain to go, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
But usually Lydd in Kent, or Deal, we used to go to a place at Kingsdown at Deal,
So you were, can you explain to me again, I didn't quite catch on to what you mean about when you were firing with the round landing in the sea.
Yeah.
You'd have the target
you
on the land.
You wouldn't see it. No, you wouldn't see it. You have target on the land, yeah. Mm. Being pulled along or whatever, you know.
Oh, I see, yeah. So if you missed the target, it
would go through the target. Well, no, go through the target, go on.
Oh, I see. Oh, I'm with you. If you go through.
Yeah, it goes through. That's right, yeah.
Mm. Right.
70 pound, it goes through most things.
Yes, yeah.
Not take Tiger tanks, yeah.
Yeah. So, were you aware of the Tiger tanks by this time? Or?
No, they weren't invented by then.
Right,
no.
Yeah. So, what German tanks were you looking at? Do you remember?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Mm. Yeah, 4 was their biggest one.
Yeah.
They used to up-gun them, put a bigger gun on. Mm. So, even though the Mark 4 was supposed to be out of, you know, obsolete by a certain time. They still use them in Normandy.
Mm.
Yeah, had a big gun on, you see, 75 mil.
Yeah. So had you any idea of where you might be going?
Oh, no.
To do this for real? Did you think about it?
No.
Did you think you might go to North Africa or,
No.
So you were happily quite an insulated sort of unit, really, just getting on with your training.
Yeah.
I didn't worry what was
we were the Sunday punch, you see. We were the Sunday punch.
The Sunday punch.
Yeah, you know, Montgomery had his troops to come in, you know, the breakthrough troops, that was us. Because I belonged to the Normandy veterans, and you get these fellas that landed on D-Day, like Mr., what's his name? Rosier. He was there on D-Day, you know. But as I like to point out, when they arrived, there's no Germans there, they weren't expected, you see. No tanks or anything like that, they landed, no, whatever. But when we landed, there were Germans there with big tanks, you see. Mm. So I think we suffered more than the actual D-Day ones. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, the suffering went on, didn't it? The extreme difficulties went on for quite a long way. Yeah.
I remember the first time we're going up into somewhere and this ambulance convoy was going the other way, blood all over the place. You know, I thought, we might be coming back that way in a minute, you know. Mm. But you didn't worry about that.
No, it all seems very...
Always happened to somebody else,
you know?
Yeah.
So you stayed at Goudhurst then?
Yeah.
Continued training?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing much changing in a big way, though.
No.
Right. So, we're getting on now. We're into 43 or 44?
That's right, 44. From Gatehurst, we went to Normandy.
Right. So, when did you first get an inkling that you were going to go somewhere?
Well, I suppose when we're at Gatehurst, because the second front had started.
Right.
D-Day was on, you see.
D-Day was on when you were at Gatehurst.
And so we were worried about, why can't we go? What are we still mashed up and down for?
Right.
Yeah.
But you hadn't done any waterproofing of vehicles?
Or not yet, no. Right. We did. Yeah. We're on a course for that, waterproofing course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because you had to reverse your vehicles up into the, these landing craft. You couldn't drive them up and turn around.
No.
We had to reverse them up and put them in.
Right.
And you got this special drill, which I still try and do, because I joined the RAF afterwards, I say. And best way to back somebody into a little space is to stand well back. And you do this business, you know, that means turn that way, that way, you see, or that straight on and so forth. But they don't do it. It was still training.
Yes.
You know.
So you train backing into things.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The brain carrier, you couldn't reverse that back in. The man who's putting it back in used to do it himself. He used to kneel up on the front plate and reach over, let our steering wheel see, and he could do it. You know, the driver's just sitting there doing the loud music, you know. And you're doing the steering. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But it didn't have any problems. No.
Mm. So eventually they said, right, we're going to waterproof your vehicles. Was that the first...
Inkling, oh, yeah, yeah, I suppose so. Someone must have said, yeah.
And you were issued with
all the little bits of plastic and stuff. Oh, yeah, I got money, yeah.
That's it. What else did they issue with? What were the little bits of plastic?
I was the expert at a little ball. I'd make a ball of plastic, about half an inch diameter, and drop it down inside the starter motor.
Mm-hmm.
You had to take the starter motor off, you know, because what happened. And this ball, once you started the engine up, this ball of white plastic would seal the hole, stop the water getting in, you see.
Oh.
It had to be a certain size.
Clever.
Oh,
yeah. They'd worked all this out, didn't they? Yeah.
And then we had to pull the guns back, because this gun is so long, you see. Get it on the boats, and you had to recoil it without firing it, you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
I don't remember how they did it, the rest of them. I know I got into trouble, because on every quad you had a winch, and I just hooked the winch up and pulled the breech back, you know, put this big lump of wood in about that long, because the recoil was quite a distance.
Oh, yeah.
And put this piece of wood in and release it again, and the sergeant came along and said, that's not the way to do it. I thought it was a very quick way of doing it.
And it worked.
Yeah.
So after you'd done your waterproofing and so on, you were then presumably told, right, tomorrow... Were you told the night before when you were going? Or
yes, it must have been, because there's nobody listening. We're in Kent, there's a lot of cherry fields, cherry orchards around about. We went out that night with our wash bowls filled up with cherries.
To take with you.
Yeah, you follow our route up to London by cherry stones, I should think. Yeah.
Right. So you set off in the early morning, did you?
I speak so.
London, yeah.
I speak so.
Don't remember driving there.
Oh, I do. I remember the police just led you through. Traffic lights red, didn't make any difference. We were going on through. Oh. And you stop every now and again at proper stops, and these nuns and various people would come out with big jugs of cocoa, and it was great.
Oh, right.
And
so
girls, oh, yeah, we were going to war. You know. You're not reading about it, you're in it, you know.
Mm.
And these girls would throw in packets of cigarettes to the fellas, you know, they come into the back of the truck, you know. And when they opened them, there'd be an address in there to write to this girl, you see. A lot of fellas presumably got married that way, I don't know.
Yeah.
Very friendly time, it was.
Yes.
And we got to Tilbury.
What was the scene like when you got there? Because, I mean, you'd been following, I presume you'd had news of the landings.
Oh, yeah.
Had you...
We're a fortnight behind. We're D14.
Right, you're D14. So had you heard about the casualties and things like that?
No. Didn't have any, did we? They wouldn't tell you things like that.
Right. So you arrive at Tilbury.
Yeah.
And what's the scene like? Because they presumably got fairly organised at shipping people out by that time.
Oh, yeah. We went into this chalk pit and all wired in. You couldn't go out once you're in there. couldn't write either. He couldn't say where you were from. He said, I don't remember. He couldn't write. Everything was, what's the word, censored. Yeah. Anyway, that night, that first night, Indian tent, bell tents, you know, banging and banging and the aircraft crashing all over the place. Terrible. The tent was going in the neck like this. And I assumed it was bombers being shot down. And they were crapping, bang, you know. Turned out it was pilotless planes. It was the V1, you see. It was back then. So in the morning, Churchill said over the radio, the loudspeakers and things, we're being attacked by pilotless planes, you know. And I remember one of our own aircraft came flying across. He had the invasion stripes underneath. They started firing at him. So he took off a bit rapidly, yeah.
So that was really sort of your first taste of war, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I was looking forward to it.
I mean, the pilotless planes sound quite sort of scary to me, really, you know.
Yeah, well, I saw them. I say I was very good on the aircraft. And we were up on above Tilbury, you know, towards the sea, and doing our waterproofing, doing this business with the stuff. And saw these aircraft and heard them, you see. I said, oh, they're the pilotless planes. They'll be coming along, you know, in silence, and they'll be dropping onto Tilbury. They're very accurate for, you know, they come all that way with nobody in them.
Yeah. So how long did you stay in your chalk pit there?
A day, that's all.
Yeah, right.
Then on to the Empire Duke was the name of the boat.
Duke, was it? Yeah. Right. So who else was on? Was it, how big was that? Was it that?
It was a Liberty boat, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. You're the first person I've ever spoke to who's remembered the name of their Liberty boat, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny, I've been talking to some of my mates since, oh, I was on that. You know, of course we would be all 43rd Division.
Yes.
You,
right, so it was all 43rd in
there. I should think that lot, yeah.
Well, I mean, were you aware that you were part of the 43rd Division? I mean, did they explain that to
we
you?
We were always 43rd, yeah.
Right, okay. Oh, so you'd always been...
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah, part of that. So you knew it was a
43rd Wessex
show that was going to go on. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Had you had much contact with other regiments in the division?
Yeah, I suppose so. Tanks, when we were at Westgate, there were tanks parked round the corner, and you used to meet them in the Naffy and the Sally Ann, you know, you'd meet all these different units, but didn't have much contact with them, you know, you didn't get to know any of them.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So you set off from Tilbury at what time of day?
Don't remember.
Right, okay. Do you remember your first sighting of the French coast?
Well, we hit the storm. You know, that terrible storm. Mm. So we arrived late. And our officer was a bit... First off, we're on this Liberty boat, OK? You got to take your trucks and guns and... quite a business when the sea's rough. And lower them into this smaller boat that's going to land you on the shore.
And that's lowered by...
The derricks and things, And, you know, you've gone down this... It was a good, it was just like the films. You go down this big sort of a webbing thing, you like it wasn't a ladder, because like a load of it, you
sort
of
went
down. And you get in there, you end up in this boat, and then you look up, you can see the trucks coming down, and they got ropes hanging down, so you can drop them. Yes, you've got to grab them, and it goes up again, you see. It was quite fun, you know, except that you could get crushed under there, so it was a bit dodgy. Mm. Anyway, you got them on there and you loaded your trucks and guns on. And in pretty good order, I suppose.
Right. And were you under fire at all?
No,
it was all quiet on the immediate coast. Yeah. Could That's, you hear the barrage going on?
No, I did see a flying fortress crashing. Really? Looked up, yeah, and it was spiralling down one wing. So what happened to him, I don't know. And it ended up in the sea. Mm. But...
And then these landing craft of some sort, was it, took you onto the beach?
Well, this landing craft were on, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know also, I heard a flying bomb, you know, and I'm looking for it. It was coming from England. Oh, one of those they tipped around, obviously.
Oh, right.
You were looking that way for this flying bomb, and it was coming that way, going back home, yeah.
Oh, right. So, how scared were you?
Not at all, honestly.
Yeah.
Anyway, this our officer, he's a bit worried, he's a bit late, you see. It's getting, that's right, it's dark now.
Right.
Dark. And it's the lieutenant on the boat, he's in charge of the boat, you see. And our officer was, our troop officer was saying, I must land, yeah, because he was afraid he's going to get lost, you see, get left behind, you know what they're like. And the lieutenant said, well, we can't land yet, he says, because the tide has to go up, you know, so you can get in. He says, because I can assure you there's a shelf there, he said, and if we go in too soon, we'll hit that shelf, it'll be miles out, you know. So he's biting his nails, presumably. I must land now, you know. So in we go, and zomp, we stopped a bit from here, I don't know, to that next row of houses from the shore. It wasn't a long way out, but it's quite a lot of water. And we stopped. So the first truck went off all right, that ramp went there. And it was a storage truck, didn't have a gun on it, and it just went off. The next one was a gun truck, and they, because the gun was reduced in size, you know, they'd made a special, had a very thick metal, that thing, a great big butcher's hook, you know, to act as a sort of an independent thing between the gun and the truck. So when you went to the top of the ramp, it would allow it to go over the top, you see, someone thought it out.
Right.
Probably a good idea. Anyway, the first truck off, his gun unhooked. At the bottom of the ramp, in the water, his gun was still there, and he was driving up through, first gear, flat eight, you know, don't change gear, flat eight. And we're shouting at him, he left his gun behind, you know, but nobody heard so much noise.
But so then, what sort of training and instruction had you had about how to come off the boat?
Oh,
and
yeah.
How to proceed?
That's right, don't change gear, put in first gear, and that's all. Give it full revs, you couldn't just motor up, you know, because I'd just keep the engine going.
Mm. So what could you see as you landed then? What was the scene? Lots of vehicles, lots of ships?
Oh yeah, God, ships everywhere. Oh yeah, knocked out ships and things. And the remains of the Mulberry Harbour type thing, you know, this was Aramont, you know. Yeah, it's pretty rough, you know, but...
So, did you see a lot of sort of devastation around?
Oh, yeah, mountains? Dead tanks, yeah. Bad to see them.
So, you came off the beach.
Yeah.
All your crew in the lorry with the gun?
We were all right, yeah. I didn't unhook, I just went up there all right. Because we had to come away again to go in again, you see. And this gun by now is hidden under the water as the tide's rising. But nobody bothered, you got another gun, you see.
Yeah.
Guns everywhere.
So you then you drove off the beach and you then went
you had
to
Summerview.
Summerview.
Summer V-I-E-U-X, we call it Summerview.
Yeah.
And that's where we took our waterproofing off, you know. But by then it's late, you know. And,
yeah.
I don't know where we went towards Bayeux. Bayeux had been taken by then.
Right, yeah.
I know we're only allowed out in pairs. You know, if you want to spend your French money you've just been given, you know. You had to go pair of you and take a rifle with you because some of the frogs didn't like us, you know.
Right.
We've been shunning them and bombing them.
So what did you see of the French population when you first got there? Were there many about? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Went to this farm and got some milk, you know, to drink. But the farm was all right, wasn't knocked about that one, you know. It was like that, you know. It was exciting.
Yeah. So you were now... sleeping, what, under the truck, or...?
Oh, no, you never do that.
No.
In a split trench, you know.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So always digging a trench.
In case something came across, yeah. But, you got a lot of snipers still about you, even though the battle had moved on.
Mm.
Oh, yes, every time you pass a woods, there's popping, pop, pop, pop all the time, because some Germans got left behind, especially these youngsters. It was the Hitler Youth Division we were up against, apparently, the 12th Panzers.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the youngest might have been 16, you know, little devils. And they try and do the best. They get up a tree and or get hide away somewhere and shoot what they could. My first German casualty I saw was a young chap. His boots running that long. He's on top of a jeep, you know, and he'd been shot out of a tree because of these people up in the trees. The tanks would go down a road shooting at all the bushy top trees, you know, and the body would drop out now and again, yeah, and he was one of those, yeah.
Oh, right.
he didn't last. He wanted water, but he couldn't give him any water.
Yeah. So he was being taken back somewhere on
the Yeah.
What did you feel about seeing your first enemy?
Well, actually, the first one I saw was when we'd landed. We were told, don't go up there, it's full of dead Germans, you know. But just along the road there, was this great big German, and he had a pickle helmet. You know those helmets with the...
In the
First War type thing. Yeah. He must be a bit 7 foot tall. He was dead, and his legs were gone from below the knee, and he's dead. But we all looked at him, oh, God, they're all like that. Let's go back. They weren't there.
You still had the spirit of adventure, though.
Still. Yeah, you weren't reading about it, you're in it, you know. Yeah, that's the thing I used to feel. Mm. Yeah.
Right, okay. So where was it you first sort of stopped, as it were? You went to Summerview.
Our first village, our first action, was a place of Sheux, C-H-E-U-X,
right.
Sheux.
Okay.
And no one said, be very careful. You know, the Germans about, you know, because we're going to go there. Then obviously the Germans are over there. But there were Germans about.
Right. Okay.
The first, you're getting short of time.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we do this after lunch, then we've just got to Sheer. And that sounds a good place to stop. Right, okay. Frank Quelch, end of reel 3.